New deal? Big bucks? Did you go buy your wife a present?
No, but I went by McDonald's. I don't know if she really classifies that as bringing home lunch as a present.
Attaboy.
You know, I don't want to change too much.
What,
but Bob, I would have, as long as John Lester was on the opening, was on the mound opening day for the Blue Jays, I'd be happy.
Well, look, we haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about the pitchers that are going to be out there in free agency and over the next 2 years, and there's a bunch of good ones. The issue becomes, are the Toronto Blue Jays prepared to spend the kind of money it's going to get one of those frontline guys? That's the issue. Do they have the money? It's always about money. I'm sure that the ownership of the Anaheim Ducks stressed long and hard over the validity of giving you a new contract at the economic standard that you're at, you know.
What were they thinking?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, but either they really have great belief in you or there's nobody else available for the job. So either way, congratulations.
I appreciate it. Thanks. I won't try to make any jokes out of that. I thought it was really magnanimous of them, and I'm very happy with the deal. So I look forward to just hopefully getting a little further in the playoffs than we did last year.
Now, when you and I saw each other in St. Catharines, which was like 6 weeks ago or something like that, rough time frame, at no time during our conversation, which lasted about 6 or 7 hours, did you indicate to me that you had a new contract offer coming from the Ducks? Is that because you didn't have one then? Did this happen quite quickly?
No, we've been talking actually since the end of May, but it was probably, you know, I had more interesting things to talk to you about when we were golfing. You know, I mean, I wanted to know more about your wine.
Yeah, I know.
Than anything, but I think there was probably a lull in the talks at that point, so there was really nothing to disclose, and I certainly would have talked to you privately. I think I tell you anything privately, but I just didn't think about it.
Right. Well, and I should make mention, too, and give him credit, because we're in the cart, and at that time, and Gabby will acknowledge this, we were talking about P.K. Subban, because his deal was a topic of discussion at that point. And you predicted, I think you said, he'll sign with Montreal about 9.5. I think that's what you said to me. You thought it was going to be. And you were pretty damn close.
Well, thank you. I get credit for something. No, I just thought that they would come up for him. And because in 5 years, I don't know if that 9.5 is going to be a lot, the way the everything escalates.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? Your team made some changes during the off season. Everybody thinks you gained ground as a team that didn't have a whole lot of ground to gain. You were right there among the elites in the National Hockey League all year and through the early rounds of the playoffs. I assume you have some sort of comfort level that this is a team capable of winning a championship.
Well, I mean, I really do. I think we've improved. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Nick Bonino. I like Matthew Perreault, but a lot, and Sacco, but we got Ryan Kesler. I've never been able to coach a team with two number one centers and two big studs in the middle. Center is such an important position, and just watching the last week or so since Kessler's been in town, not knowing him, I mean, I think he's going to be a real big he's going to be something that we haven't had. So it's going to push Getzlaff, and I'm sure Getzlaff will push Kessler, and I think it'll make for a good marriage.
Now, Kessler, he wasn't a happy camper at the end in Vancouver, certainly. Did you discuss that at all? Or is he? And I would assume when you get a guy who, you know, gets liberated from a place where he's not happy, it's all sunshine and flowers. Is that kind of the case?
Well, I really, quite frankly, haven't talked to him about anything in Vancouver. I want to get to know him before I start to delve into those questions, but just talking to him as a person and getting to know a little bit that how he is that he is really a determined young guy that seems to be always serious, and he's in tremendous shape, and watching him skate out there, he doesn't want to take second fiddle to anybody, and that's exactly what you want.
Now you mentioned Saku Koivu, who announced his retirement today. I just, Bruce, you know, you coaching him and another guy who, you know, retired at the end of last season.
Solani.
Timu Solani, two guys who had long and very distinguished careers in this league. What was it like coaching those two guys?
You know what? It was great being able to be with them. It was tough sometimes because they were both getting a little older, and I was really, you know, conscientious of how much ice time I gave them because, to me, they're both icons in the league, and you don't want to embarrass them by not playing them enough, but they were both tremendous professionals. I mean, I think the game of hockey is going to miss both of these guys, both for the way they acted off the ice and on the ice. I mean, it's a pretty big loss for our sport.
Now I'm going to flatter you, and then I'm going to stick a pin in your balloon here.
So, well, which you usually do.
Yeah. Did you know that you are the fastest coach in NHL history to get to 300 wins?
I was told that today.
Well, congratulations for that accomplishment.
I hope you brought that up in negotiations, for God's sakes.
No, I didn't. But there's a but there.
There's a but. You didn't bring it up, but you clandestinely sent them, what, a sealed envelope that had that statistic in it?
My numbers were all there. Yeah. I let them know. Yeah.
So the fastest to get to 300 wins. All right, here's the pin. You're 1-5 in game sevens. And what do you plan to do to correct that flaw?
Well, there's two things. One, I hope we don't get to too many game sevens anymore because it's too hard in the heart. But if we do get there, just plan on winning them. I've been in some nail biters and some laughers. I mean, we lost the first one 3-2 in overtime to Philadelphia while we were killing a penalty. Lost 3-2 to Detroit. Then we lost 2 to Pittsburgh and L.A. in game sevens that were laughers. And the other one, I can't even think of who it was to right now. But I know, obviously, I lost it. So I'll think about it a little later. But, those are funny games, Bob. I've gone over all of them in my mind, and one turn, one little thing happening the different way could have made the difference, and it could have been 5-1.
Yeah.
It's something that you just keep plotting, and every new series and every new situation is, you know, you treat it differently. So hopefully I get to, quite frankly, when I said I hope I don't get to game sevens, I mean, I don't have a problem getting to game sevens. That means we're in the playoffs and we've got a chance to win the series.
I'll tell you one truism, though, Boudreaux. If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. So, you
good
know.
Point. I'm glad you could remember that.
Thank you.
That little ditty.
Yes. Just to refresh your memory. Mm-hmm. Well, it's an exciting time. Is there a palpable, I mean, you're in Los Angeles, you're in greater Los Angeles, you're in Anaheim, and where it's easy to get lost, especially during the off season, where there is so much going on, there's so much competition for the entertainment dollar, not to mention specifically competition for the sports dollar. The Angels are on their way to the postseason, the Dodgers are on their way to the postseason, even though there's no NFL team there, there's a lot of attention on that. You had the Clippers mess this summer. The Lakers are always a focus, and I can go on and on and on and on. How do you get a sense as to your fan base's anticipation of the upcoming season? Or are you, when I try and visualize what your life is like in Anaheim, I think it's like you're in a cocoon you probably don't know. You don't know what they're thinking.
You know what? You're correct, because you don't see a lot of the hockey fans. And, I mean, it's not anything like you would imagine being in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go a week without anybody saying, hey, aren't you,
right.
You know, Randy Carlyle's brother? But where I notice it is, my son plays either roller hockey or hockey when we're out here. And every rink we go to now seems to be more people at the arenas, and they all know who you are.
Right.
So it's basing it on that and how many, like the high school leagues are jumped up from five years ago to over 40 now. I mean, the hockey's there, but it's like they're in their little cocoon until it becomes hockey season, and then they will come out.
Well, we all wish you good luck, and congratulations on the new deal. We couldn't be happier for you. Do yourself a favor. Take your wife someplace better than McDonald's. Not that McDonald's isn't fine, but, you know, a nice restaurant, you know, upscale. You know, someplace where you're going to pay more than $2.99 for a meal. You know what I mean?
You're killing me.
Well, you know, I hope she's listening, because she deserves better, you know.
Yes, no, she does. And we're going to go out tonight. We've already said
all right,
nice
good.
Date night, and we're going to have a nice night. But I appreciate it. Thanks, Bob.
No place with a drive-thru, okay?
Okay.